This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, about to catch up with Jared Sandler. Let's talk some Rangers, baby. We got spring training going down. We'll be there out in surprise this time next week. G-Bag Nation, KNC, taking on Rangers spring training there in Arizona. In fact, it's Baskey's last week with us before he joins the Rangers network. And, well, we love talking with Jared Sandler. It is the power hour, the final hour of the G-Bag Nation. Wolchuk, Chiafalo brought us. We got the greatness of Lucius Alexander. Carter Freeman still hanging around here as he's running your video. We'll do a hodgepodge coming up on the other side. But, Jared, how are you? Did you get to meet up with our buddy Joe Barlow? Have you seen Joe Barlow yet?
Jeez, Jared, I hate when you ignore us like this.
Jared, what the hell, dude?
Not a good bit anymore, dude. You've done this a lot now.
He does this plenty.
So played out.
He likes to try and just pull pranks on us. It's like we've pulled pranks on him.
He either wants to answer one question and use 10 minutes of time to answer that question or
can
just
you guys hear
lay
me?
Out.
Oh, yeah. He lives. Mazel tov. We got you.
That's my fault. I had the mute button on.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I have seen Joe Barlow. He looks very caveman-ish, and it's
perfect.
Refreshing to see. I asked around. The Rangers have a lot of pitchers in camp, and there's no, like, roster limit to it, but at this point, because Joe's in on a minor league deal, but you know, you only have so many catchers to catch all these pitchers, and you don't want to wear out the catchers and stuff. So I asked someone, why Joe, what was the what was the impetus, and I guess Joe is as healthy as he's been. If you guys remember, he had some a finger issue, mm-hmm. like a blister that he just couldn't shake, that became more serious than what it sounds, and he's throwing hard again. He's throwing in the mid 90s, and there's some people who quietly think that Joe's got a nice chance to make the opening day roster.
Oh, let's go! We're pulling for him. That'll probably be one of the first clubhouse interviews we have next week. Joe's one of our hype guys, Jared. He's really a big fan of the nosebleed seats. What other pitchers do you think might have a dark horse chance to make this roster? I know you haven't gotten to see a whole lot. Like, is there any buzz? Like, okay, I know, like, a Jesse Chavez. I don't know another name to throw in there. Like, okay, this guy might have an outside shot to really do something.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse's definitely one of those guys. I don't think they'd bring Jesse in if he didn't have a legitimate chance. We talk about this every year, but there's obviously a balance. You got guys who you give the slight edge to, but they've got team control or they're optionable. And, you juxtapose that with a guy like Jesse Chavez who, if he's not on the opening day roster, and he's been good enough to justify it, then he probably gets claimed by someone else. And so you lose that level of depth. And so I think, Jesse's definitely got a chance for that reason. The Rangers signed Luke Jackson today. They're bringing all these guys back, Jesse Chavez, Joe Barlow, and Luke Jackson, and they signed them to a major league deal. And so that doesn't 110% guarantee that he's going to be on the opening day roster, but you don't just hand out a major league deal in the middle of February for a guy who you think is a long shot. And similarly with Luis Curvelo, he's not a guy that Rangers fans probably know much about. He was sort of an odd man out in a roster crunch with Seattle, and he's here on a major league deal. And so, you know, he's another guy who I think is a legitimate shot to make the team out of camp.
Hey, Jared, here's my weird question for you for the day. You know, all these pitchers and stuff, you know, they bring them along. We talk about innings and how they're worked, how they're developed, and all these things. Why don't they go back to, like, ways the pitchers used to be in the 70s and the 80s when it comes to that? If you're already going to have guys that are getting injured and Tommy John and stuff, is it, is it something that they just don't want to ever do again? Those pitchers used too much? It seems like guys, even though they're kind of, they keep them in this, kind of in bubble wrap and work through them and all this stuff, and then they find their way on the injured list every year. Is there something to this? I mean, am I missing something there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, yeah, they definitely have the stoplight on a lot more than they used to, right, when it comes to the workload of pitchers. I don't know, Broadus. I think it's a great question because, you know, there's going to be a group of folks who will tell you that, no, you need to teach them to push through.
Sure.
And, you know, by doing that, you're going to, further train them physically to be able to withstand that sort of workload. But then there are other people who will be very quick to point out, guys in the 70s and 80s were throwing in the high 80s or the low 90s. Or, they weren't max effort guys. You know, back then, it wasn't just a badge of honor to make a start every fifth day or give a team 200 innings. It was like that was the expectation, right? That was the standard.
Right.
But in order for guys to do that, you know, they didn't have their foot on the gas pedal the way they do now. Now the data, whether people like it or not, the reality is the data has shown that, you know, teams feel like optimizing their chance to win is more guys giving it 110% for five innings and then going to, you know, three or four guys in the bullpen who are throwing 100 miles an hour, right? And you just didn't have that back then. And so I think the biggest counter to, well, yeah, it's you're right, it's not the 70s or 80s, but guys in the 70s or 80s weren't throwing the way that these guys are throwing. And frankly, their bodies weren't built the way that they're built now. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just the reality.
Yeah, it's funny because we monitor everything nowadays, and then we still end up with worrying about the pitcher's health, you know, or just players' health in general. You know, we just monitor everything. You know?
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know if I've shared the story with you guys or not, but like 2 years ago, I think Dave Raymond showed me two studies. One was from like Harvard or something, and the other one was from Stanford, and they were both on pitcher health, and they said they had two opposing viewpoints. One was that fastball usage had zero to do with arm injuries, and it was all about overusing your breaking stuff, and the data pointed towards those conclusions. Another one showed, and again, these are two legitimate universities and studies. The other one said it's actually all about fastball usage. For guys who throw their fastball more than, I think it was like 54, 55% of the time, it doesn't matter whether they throw 88 or 98, those guys are more likely to have a bout with Tommy John. So I think that is a perfect demonstration of how we just have no idea when these two studies point in two totally opposing directions.
Jared Sandler with us here in the G-Bag Nation live from Surprise, Arizona, Rangers spring training. Where's the optimism as it pertains to Evan Carter having a bounce back season?
Well, he's optimistic, and I think the team's optimistic, and I guess they don't really have any other choice, right? You know, the biggest question mark with Evan has to do with, and we go back to Broadus's question, not just about pitchers, but position players and health. Now, Evan's got a unique thing. He's, in his early 20s, and he's had some back injuries for a couple of years. That's not something that usually you deal with someone his age range. We talked about how perhaps the fact that he's still growing played a role. And I actually asked him yesterday or 2 days ago, I don't remember, and he said that he grew another inch this offseason. And, you know, the fact that his growth plate is still open has contributed to some of the back soreness and the back challenges that he's dealt with. But, you know, I think there's a lot of optimism that if Evan is healthy, he is going to, for one, be a big impact defensively in center field. And secondly, you know, they're not going to ask him to lead off. They're not going to ask him to hit in the middle of the order. If guys are healthy, he's likely hitting in the bottom of the order. And if you think about that 23 team and how deep their lineup was, think about having Evan Carter hitting seventh, eighth, or ninth. And I think for him mentally, coming off a frustrating year from an injury standpoint, but also from a results standpoint, putting him in a low leverage spot like that will be really helpful in allowing him to dip his toes and establish himself. And then the big question with him is lefties. You know, are the Rangers going to give him a little bit of runway to begin the year to face lefties? Are they going to, you know, from the start say, hey, we want you focusing on righties and, you know, we'll deal with lefties later? And I think in order to answer that question, they have to understand who makes up the rest of their roster and whether they have guys who they feel like are worthy of getting those at-bats or taking those at-bats away from Evan Carter. Because right now you got Jock Peterson, Leody Taveras, and Evan Carter, three guys who you probably aren't, you know, rushing to the front of the line to nominate as, you know, heart of the order guys against left-handed pitching. And so you have to have guys that fill out the lineup against lefties. And perhaps they think that Evan Carter can be one of those guys at the bottom of the order just because of his plate discipline and his patience.
I know CY, when we talked to them last year, he brought up, you know, a lot of guys that were awesome in 2023 had down years and regressed. Dolley never seemed to be healthy. Obviously, Seager was hurt. Simeon had a down year. With those guys and Jonah Heim, you can throw whoever you want in there, hopefully bouncing back. But the additions of Peterson, Higashioka, Berger, are you confident that this offense can get back to the elite offensive club they were in 2023?
Yeah, I really am, Zach. Now, you know, obviously there are, you can say for any team, well, they got to stay healthy, but there are legitimate question marks, guys who maybe don't have a track record of staying healthy. And so, you know, I can't predict that, but gosh, I'd love to see what even 80% worth of a season of Josh Young looks like and getting Evan Carter back in there. And I'm really excited to see what type of step White Langford takes. And you know, the Jock Peterson and Jake Berger additions were huge. You know, one of the things the lineup lacked last year was power. And, you know, I know sometimes we think that, well, power, not that it's overrated, but guys sell out for power and, you know, it compromises their total package. And I don't, maybe that's true, but the Rangers in 23 versus the Rangers in 24 offensively were, you know, two different ball clubs. And power was a big reason why. The Rangers just lacked the ability to hit the three-run home run, to have that big blow in the middle of the game, to turn the tide or to extend the lead, you know, whatever it might be. The home run is the single best thing that you can do as a hitter. And the Rangers have added probably about, you know, if those guys stay healthy, about 60 home runs worth of pop in their lineup, and specifically at first base. You know, you might be doubling your home run production from Nathaniel Lowe to Jake Berger. You know, there are a lot of things that Nathaniel did really well, but he just wasn't a power hitter. And I think the front office felt like that was an area of need and that was a position in which they could upgrade that. And, you know, I think a big question, you know, for me is Marcus Semien. Because if he was 3 years younger, I would say there's zero reason to believe Marcus isn't going to have a bounce back year. The only question for me is because of all the mileage and, you know, how hard he plays, has he just kind of reached the point where science is starting to creep in? Or was last year just a down year for everyone, and he's going to bounce back the way he's done a few different times in his career coming off of a down year?
Hey, Jared, I know Will Venable went to manage the White Sox. And I know he was like a trusted, you know, voice on that, you know, on that coaching staff. Is that a hard replace right there, or is that something that you have pieces in place to just take over that role that he had?
Well, yeah, the organization, and Brad, that's a great question, and it makes sense it's coming from you because you understand the value of people who don't accumulate stats, right? And right. I'm not saying that other people don't, but, like, you've lived it. You've seen it. And, yeah, I mean, Will was very highly thought of, not just, you know, by the Rangers, but around the league. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tough to quantify what he did and how he impacted you know, whether it was a game or just the team at large. But yeah, I mean, it's clear that they valued him. Now, the Rangers have brought in Skip Schumacher, and not that Skip Schumacher is going to be in the dugout in uniform, but you know, he's a guy who I think they believe has a lot of value to add. And Luis Urueta, who's the new bench coach, is someone who Skip Schumacher thinks really highly of. And you know, one thing he brings, and this is something that, you know, you have to think about in baseball, the Rangers have a very English-speaking staff. Right. And Pipe Urueta, who does speak English, you know, he is from Colombia. He is a Spanish speaker, and I think that will make a big impact. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think Will Venable viewed the game through a different lens and had some unique perspectives and philosophies and thoughts. And I think he was also a really good communicator. I mean, you guys know that you can be the smartest guy in the room, but if you don't know how to communicate that knowledge, then, you know, it really doesn't have much value. So it's a great question. I think what CY would say if asked that is, hey, it's our responsibility as an organization to continue to grow, not just our players, but our coaches, so that when we are successful and guys inevitably leave to take different opportunities, that we're able to replace them and fill those voids and not allow the departure of a few coaches to really hamstring you.
Can you say that name of the bench coach again? I mean, it was so impressive.
Gosh, I got to practice. Luis Urueta.
I mean, seamless.
He goes by Pipe. I'm just going to call him Pipe. I mean, he goes by Pipe. I
thought you had been practicing, Jared. That rolled off the tongue.
Yeah, you worked that in twice there. It was a nice little flex.
And both times you said it different, like, and both times you said it different, like Gavin does, Berea Tacos.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think I said his name three times, three different ways.
It's Jared Sandler live in Surprise, Arizona with the Rangers here for spring training. Has anybody caught your eye just looking at eye tests, getting off the bus? Like, damn, this guy's been really working on himself this offseason. Some new developments, maybe with some 3D delts or whatever.
Talent in the body, Jared.
Yeah, you know, we haven't been able to spend a lot of time over at the fields because we've been across the street at Rangers Village doing all sorts of interviews with guys. I did get to see Nathan Eovaldi and Jacob Webb throw some live BPs today.
Jealous.
Welcome to TV, Jared.
I got to speak with Sebastian Walcott today, and I stood next to him before, but it was just a nice reminder of how big this kid is. And, you know, for him to have the athleticism he has in that frame is impressive. But I'll tell you one thing that has really jumped out to me. I think it's been really cool to watch unfold really over the last year, but finally got these guys speaking about it. But the love affair between Adolis Garcia and Corey Seager. I've spoken at length with Corey about how much he loves Adolis, and getting to speak with Adolis today about that and just seeing his face light up when, I brought up Corey and just the relationship and bond those two have, I think it's really cool. And that's something that, you know, it doesn't get talked about a ton because those guys don't necessarily talk about it a ton, but it's very evident. And it was really heartwarming to kind of mesh both of my conversations with each of them. And the shared love that they have for one another.
Well, how much more pressure do you feel? How much more dialed are you going to be just from an aesthetic standpoint now that you're going to be on television all the time? The beard, the hair, I know you'll do some intermittent fasting and that can really lean you out. Like, are you even more committed this time around just being on TV so much?
Yeah, I just need to figure out, you guys know that I'm fashion forward is like someone who's fashionable. I'm fashion backward. And so I'm just going to need to make sure that my hair is done. And I mean, I've got a big shiny forehead and a big nose, and so someone's going to have to help with the makeup because I have no clue. I tried to do it last year when I'd fill in on TV, and I think half the makeup, whatever it's called that you put the shine, it was
powder,
like on my suit. So, the powder, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get some help with that.
I don't know. Your shot game's always been on point, my man. You're not that.
That's true.
That's good for TV.
Yeah, it's great for TV. It really
is.
Can you
wear a tie and shorts? Can you wear a tie and shorts? You know,
Rodis, I got great news for you. I don't think we're going suit and tie this year, so I don't even have to worry about that.
There you go.
Then the
SC hoodie's in play then, right?
SC hoodie is definitely a play, especially when I'm flanked by Laura Stickles and Dave Raymond.
Yeah.
Because even though we're not conference rivals anymore, they did go to Stanford, and Stanford folk look down on USC folks. I got to represent.
You got to rub it in.
That's an all-time flank right there. Hey, are we going to be we're going to be doing some sleepovers in Surprise? You got a little spacious spot we can come crash and do some
I got some extra rooms, fellas. I got some extra rooms. Let's do it. Let's slumber. But Chief, I get a room with you. I call sleeping in a bed with you.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll cook.
We're gonna
we can fight
Doug,
for that,
the
Jared.
Doug Winter Party vibes are going to go right into the apartment of Jared Sandler in Surprise, Arizona. Looking forward to
that. I cannot wait.
I'm pumped. Hey, Jared, you brought up Corey Seager, though. I just wanted to ask, do you think he was too low on the top 100 players from MLB's rankings? I was stunned that Kyle Tucker and Vlad Guerrero Jr. are ranked ahead of him.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, I do think Kyle Tucker's a stud, but, I mean, Corey's just on another level. And if you look at his numbers from May 3rd onward last year, he was pretty much the same guy he was in 2023. And that guy is probably the best hitter in the world not named Shohei Ohtani. And, I don't know. What number was he?
17.
Yeah, that's ludicrous. You can't tell me there's 16 guys better than him. There's no way. I'm not buying it. That's a poor job.
Amen, Jared. We love you. We can't wait to party with you next week. Enjoy the week. Make sure everything's nice and tidy for us, okay?
All right, fellas. Looking forward to seeing you.
There he goes. The great Jared Sandler, already in Surprise. We'll be joining him a week from now, Sunday. We're flying out there for some Ranger spring training action. We got a hodgepodge coming up next, Eric.
Yes. Well, Walchuk and I embarrassed ourselves in a huge way on national radio just yesterday. We'll relive some of the lowlights. And we asked the question, is Dallas really known for this? Next in the nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're having a good time in here. We got Fred and Blake live in studio. A little Fin After Dark crosstalk pregame before the real crosstalk kicks off. Great to have you boys in the studio. Walchuk, I believe, got the bubble guts, and he's fighting through it in the ladies' room here on the 11th floor.
I think he's talking to his child.
There he is.
There he is. Fresh out the bathroom.
Maybe just some good 90s.
Well, I went, it was a onesie. It wasn't a bubble gut situation, but then okay, I realized good. We don't have soap in our bathroom. So I just went ahead, stole from the ladies. Gotcha. Then got the FaceTime. Baby girl just had bath time, so she's about to go to bed. So I had to say night-night to her.
Wow.
Is it bad that I've used the bathroom up here in the men's room 3 times today? I had no idea we were out of soap.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And honestly, I know that about you, and it's probably one of the things that disgusts me the most.
It's just like a puddle at the urinal right now.
Do you think you could keep like portable soap? Is that looked upon down as a man?
I would just come in and spray some disinfectant on your hands.
Outside of just having a wallet, phone, and keys, what else should a man always have with him?
877-881-1053.
Great question.
Yeah, open that up is to a, the, open gosh. Up to the, dang.
I mean, you know, a lot of people are going to carry a piece on them, right? I mean, we are in Texas. Yeah, absolutely. So that's
I was thinking Aquaphor. Maybe even
that's where
a gun.
I was going to go. What's that?
I was going Aquaphor. That was probably mine.
Aquaphor.
Oh, just like for your lips?
Aquaphor? Aquaphor.
Is it Aquaphor or Aquaphor?
It's Aquaphor.
It's great for tattoos, by the way, as well.
Yeah, it's got multi-use. So
100%.
Having that in your pocket, that's just as good as a piece.
Well, I don't know. Are we going to throw it at somebody in the event that you're getting robbed, I guess? I don't know.
Squirt in their eye. And
slips out of their hand and you can take off running. Maybe that's it.
Well, we're going to sink into me and Wolchuk's disaster class of a performance yesterday on national radio. BetMGM Network, live from our home studios.
Our guys from Dallas next.
Segment here in the nation. Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org.
Let's go. Talking sports with Chiafalo.
Also brought to you by the Frankels.
Yeah.
If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214-333-3333. Here's the deal. With Frankel & Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost.
This is real, huh?
They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck attorneys in Dallas. Truck wreck attorneys. Okay.
I feel like the longest read of all time.
Krusty's Corner next.
There's a lot involved.
Oh, what I mess up?
It's like, why can't we just say it's brought to you by Frankel & Frankel? Here's the number. Call them.
Call them. They need, yeah. Help. Call them.
Okay, so we've now graduated from the BetQL radio network to now BetMGM.
Ooh, big stage, network. Boys. Big stage.
Huge stage.
That's what you guys were doing yesterday?
Hell yeah, that's what we were doing yesterday.
So it's no more BetQL?
Oh, no, they rebranded.
It's now BetMGM. The big dog. Top of the mountain.
So this means you're going to be in Vegas for all the big fights now. What's the MGM Grand?
Ooh, more than likely.
They probably have to fly you guys out.
That's a good observation by you.
By the way, do we need to update our breaking news sounder while we're at it, too?
Yeah, actually, that's a great point. Because breaking news on 105.3 The Fan is actually now presented by BetMGM. Smarter bets start with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app or visit BetMGM.com today.
Is it just me or does that sound just more grand? That just sounds more grandiose.
Oh, it's grand.
It sounds like
it's the top of the mountain.
It is.
I mean, Walchuk,
be nice we take care of that before the shows. You know how that goes.
Yeah. That's rich. Yeah.
Well, we'll get the revision in no time.
In no time.
So we have three.
It's President's Day, Brian.
Three clips.
Is that today?
Three clips.
Today's President's Day?
Yeah.
Why have I not seen anything about that?
Well, you didn't listen to the 420. Way to Tolo, Blake.
I was watching. Toloing. Sorry.
God, I know Fred heard it.
Well, yeah, I did, actually.
Thank you. I could see it in your eyes.
I was watching wide receivers.
I was.
I watched one receiver. It took me 4 hours.
Look at this. Isn't it? I know no one on the fan cam.
No, I noticed that.
I didn't do that. There's a ghost in here. Because the last show we did, golf balls rolling down.
There were
his
golf balls.
His mic turning off in the middle of the segment.
Yeah.
There's a ghost in here.
Did you get clawed in the face?
A
little shorty got him.
Your cat got you on the nose.
My cat got me on the nose.
Oh, no, shorty got him.
Dallas fan cam. You'll see it on Twitch and YouTube in about 30 minutes when I'm on one of the cameras. I have a big scratch on my nose. It was clawed. So
probably gonna blaming it on the cat.
Been clawed a few times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, a 90-minute tease from right now. Blake has a big-time scouting segment.
We've got a 3-week tease going on.
Ready to unveil.
3-week tease?
Nobody does teases like Fan After Dark. I'm glad that I'm rubbing off on.
We're like strippers.
Yeah, we are. Love where your head's at. No, I've been teasing an Eric Mangini bit for 3 weeks now. This is week 3.
Is tonight the night?
Stick around and see.
Still workshopping.
Wait and find out. Tune in from 7 to 11. Maybe you'll find out and see.
Okay, so Wolchuk and I started with the BetMGM Network yesterday. Now that football's over, we're going to be doing this every Sunday afternoon, live from our own home studio. So it's a nice little situation.
Except for next Sunday and the Sunday after. But all the other Sundays we'll be doing it.
Yes. Now we came out of the gate.
Who's taking over?
I,
it's Cassidy.
Not me. I'm not doing 4 extra hours.
You're doing Sean right now, aren't you?
No, that guy.
They're kind of the same. They're both just loud.
Oh, he's Nick Costas.
Guy, loud and raspy.
The guy in the back, he's always like.
Costas.
Yeah, it's Nick Costas.
Okay, well, let's start. We'll go live to, unfortunately, we're going to start with my mistake because my mistake was the first and perhaps the largest of the program yesterday. Now, this is sort of subtle, all right? So just if you catch a mistake in here.
Don't say anything.
Just perk up a little bit.
Okay.
There was something nice about the postseason starting and it just being one game at a time. And you really just got to sit in and sink into and ride the wave, the ups and downs, getting into the nuts and bolts of each game in real time, all the decisions that come into play in one single game. We're going to have to pull that, aren't we?
The nation's back.
Yes.
That was incredible. I don't know what back. You tried to say there, but I love that you just said that. Whatever it was, it made me feel better about everything. That's what I needed to hear.
I was efforting to say the word decision, and I completely short-circuited and combusted along the way in front of my daughter who's in the room. You know how just emasculating that is? You know how embarrassing that is? It's extremely embarrassing.
So I don't
Did
know if you guys
can
tell.
Did you use every cliche known to man there? You went all cliche team on that one, didn't you?
Yeah, you went. You kind of did.
Nuts and bolts, riding the waves.
Yeah, because you went.
You went Dak Prescott talking about T Mac.
That's like a word salad you had going on there.
That's the art of doing the national shows.
I think all cliches led to you like losing your mind.
Honestly, I think you're right,
Brian. We're just trying to fill airtime. Okay,
we're trying
to make it through 4 hours, just collect our checks and go home. Even though we are home.
But I don't know. I don't think that was that bad.
Each game in real time, all the decisions.
I thought we had to get the dumb button right for a second.
We might have to bleep that one.
That reminds me of that khaki cab clip of him doing his read where he's like, oh, gosh.
That's a new one for the B-Day roast.
So that was a tough way to come out of the gates, of course, for me. I would like to think that I gathered myself.
Is that your opening monologue?
No. That's the first 10 seconds of the show. That was like the second segment.
Yeah, I think
somebody
it was
in Chicago right now, turn that damn thing off.
Yeah, real probably. Disaster. I was waiting for an email with how bad our show was yesterday, but hey. It's President's Day, so it didn't come through.
That's very true. I dropped an F-bomb last year. They didn't say a word.
You got those mics where did anybody like hit the button and mute yourself?
Did that once or twice, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you catch yourself? Were you talking while you were doing it?
I was talking while I was doing it.
Oh, are we going to play that?
No, because it's not as good. What we need to play is this next
silent
clip.
Audio.
We'll get to Walchuk's. We'll get to Walchuk's flub here in a second, but... We went to San Francisco where we had a guy from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco on scene at the All-Star game. So he was giving us all the All-Star stuff, but then we at the end I was like, hey, by the way, we're actually coming out to San Francisco for the Super Bowl next year. So he was trying to sell us on the idea, and then I told him here my one concern about going to San Francisco, and then listen to what he had to say in by way of like a punchback about our city here in Dallas.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just the human fecal matter on the sidewalks and the curb that has us a little tentative. But otherwise, other than that, Evan, we're fired up. We cannot wait to see you out there. Definitely need to show us around town when it comes to the food spots. We're going to be ready to tear it up, dude. You're a beast. Thanks so much for your time, and enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, whether it's fecal matter in San Francisco or obesity in Dallas, it's all one of the same, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Wow. Thank you, Evan. Wow, he went out with a bang there. Did he say obesity in Dallas? Did he say obesity?
He said obesity. He said obesity, man.
Unbelievable, man. That was, I mean.
I think that's not just a Dallas problem. I think that's a country issue.
That is true. Why isolating Dallas?
He got us mixed up with San Antonio and Houston.
That's where he was going with.
I think we're even the fattest city in our own state.
No,
absolutely
not even.
Going to San
we're
Antonio.
We're fit over here in Dallas.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't think Dallas was like synonymous with obesity.
Well, but look, I mean, you basically said, look, there's human crap all over your city. Hey, we'll talk to you later.
I did kind of send him out with that.
He didn't take kindly to that. Like, obesity and poo.
Well, catch you next time with all that human crap on your city. Later.
Hey, clean up all the crap on the streets. We'll see you in the year.
I mean, in fairness.
It wasn't the most respectful sign-off on my end.
Speaking of crap, was your segment was crap.
Yeah. I mean, but it wasn't old boy from WFAN going all post or anything like that. But
Can't believe it.
Can't believe it.
Oh, Heyman.
But it did match that kind of vibe, though, a little bit.
It's just funny that we're...
Can't believe it!
Are you serious?
Serious right now.
I cannot believe
I'm never coming on with you guys.
I'm never coming on with you.
I'm done with you. I'm done with WFA.
Friday, bro. Come on. Calm down.
You need to see it to bed.
I cannot believe that he likened, like he was comparing, like the disgusting nature that is human poo on the sidewalk.
He's fat people?
He's just as repulsed by that as he is just a general run-of-the-mill fat person.
He had to say something, though.
Evan Gidding's good.
You put Evan in a corner.
I backed him into the corner
there.
You
did.
I'll own that one.
You did.
So he showed his fat hate.
I mean, what else? Here, think about it this way,
obesity
though.
Obesity in Dallas, boys. Woo!
Well, but here's, think about it this way. What are you going to say about Dallas, right? Like, what's your go-to? Like, we know for a fact there's poop on the city, on city streets and city sidewalks in San Francisco. Like, that's a fact.
Yeah.
What's your, hey, all your cattle and all your big cowboy. I mean, what are you going to say about Dallas? Like, what's your go-to talk? Oh,
there's one. There's one big one that I've definitely heard. I think we know what it is.
Oh, about Dallas? Shot at the president?
Yeah, I think that's
usually people's go-to, when they want to try and take a shot at
Dallas. Canoed his melon.
Yeah.
Gave him a Mossberg sandwich.
But that's, I mean, what is that? I mean, that's a 60-year-old dig, though.
Yeah,
Are we still going after that 60 years later?
No, apparently we're not. Apparently we're going after the obesity.
You're right. It's transitioned to obesity.
Well, hey, I mean, look, you can thank Patrick Dumont and Nico Harrison for that. You know, calling Luca fat on his way out.
That's true.
We did get a little bit thinner over the last couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, we did. We dropped some LBs.
It's not the big D. It's the obesity now, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the obesity.
All right. And then
that's a great point. He could have been talking to Nico.
I mean, you know, I think he was getting San Antonio. I'm with Lucius. I think he
messed it up.
I think he was going Luca.
Yeah.
Right? I think you're kind of right. I mean, that's what else? Like I said, what else are you gonna say?
Yeah.
Oh, all your women have plastic surgery. Ooh. Sorry.
Yeah. Like California doesn't. Okay. Now we're gonna go to Walchuk's mistake. We're talking Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and
this is not good.
He made a Puka Cooper Kupp disaster mistake.
I still don't really understand like why the Rams would be willing to get rid of him. I understand the contract. I get Puka Nacua. Puka. Wow. Puka Nacua.
That's crazy.
Has ended up being awesome for them. That was interesting. I combined Puka and Kupp. Yeah. That's what I just did there. Puka. Thank you.
Puka.
Yeah, he's a Puka.
Evan Giddings has a Puka right now in his hand.
Yeah, he does. Gosh, man, I still can't believe he said Dallas, known for obesity, taking shots at the fatties.
Oh, shout out to the fatties, by the way. Fred and Blake in studio. So that's how we stumbled out of the gates, week one on the BetMGM Radio Network, man.
What time do you guys do that show, by the way?
3 to 7.
Okay.
It's a 4-hour.
So wait a minute. Where do we hear it at? So we got to listen on the app?
Yeah. Well,
we're not over air, thank God.
It is over air on other stations, but not on the fan. We're on the air in other cities, and I imagine people are driving around in like Tempe, Arizona going, what in the world am I listening to?
Puka Nacua. Puka.
Subscribe.
Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua. Fat Dallas. Okay.
Puka Nacua.
Oh, God.
The Cooper Cup.
All right, let's continue the.
That's kind of tough.
The crosstalk with Fan After Dark next right here on the fan.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Time to crosstalk with the Fan After Dark. We've already been visiting with them, Freddie D, Fred Davis. We got Blake Elliott, Fan Phenom, with us here. Blake, I did want to know, how did your Valentine's Day go on Saturday night? Because you had that special dinner that you like pre-booked, pre-paid for.
Mm-hmm. It went swell. So Friday, I was a lot more nervous. Friday was a lot of running around, getting flower bouquets that were fresh, getting rose.
Should hit chop you up.
Hitting up, that was
just go
crazy.
By a funeral home.
That was crazy. That's got to be the worst fair foul ever. I heard Chop what he did on Friday. You know, getting the rose petals, getting balloons, chocolate. So a lot of stuff you had to do the day of. Saturday was already booked in advance. Had the dinner at Dakota's. that we went to. And then a little bit of a last minute thing, I booked like 3 or 4 days before. I booked a comedy club, Dallas Comedy Club, and we went and saw some improv. And she really loved that. We were in the front row, called on us a couple times to give some suggestions. I thought we did a fine job. Shorty was a little nervous, but we did a great job.
Did you get heckled?
No heckle. It wasn't really one of those. It was more of a low key one where they were just kind of being nice to everyone in the crowd. It wasn't like a full on comedian. Hey, I've done this 30, 40 times. More of like young and up and comers.
Open mic type night type deal.
It wasn't random people. It was people that had been there, but they were just doing improv. It was fun. Got some drinks. Had a good time. And I'm trying to think. Was that it? Yeah, I think that was it. Just improv, comedy, and a good little time.
So what was included in the meal at Dakota's? Was it worth it?
So it was a prefix menu, 3 courses. First course, I got black truffle risotto. She got some yellowtail sashimi. And then second course, she got surf and turf, so some crab legs and a filet.
Nice.
And then I got a New York strip, both medium rare, cut like butter. I was telling Brian before the show started, I've never had a steak cut that easy. I mean, the knife touched it, fell apart. Amazing. And then third course, I had a tiramisu cheesecake, and she had some black chocolate cake type thing.
That's delightful.
What a win, dude.
Sounds fantastic.
So you went strip over ribeye.
They didn't have the ribeye as part of the... That's right.
They had like a...
It was strip or...
What was the size of that steak?
The New York strip, I don't know.
8, 10, 12, 16?
More than that. Probably closer to 16.
Okay.
Because hers was a 6-ounce filet with the crab leg, so... It was quite good. And, you know, I had myself a glass of wine. She had herself a martini. We had a good little time.
Wow, damn. Man.
I will say, me and my girl are both observers. I saw probably 2 different couples that looked like they were having the worst time ever.
Looking at their phones the whole time?
One, looking at their phones the whole time. But they were eating. Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe they just don't talk.
How old do you think they were?
To my left, I knew how old they were. They were probably 27, 28. I mean, just by judging them. Oh. Couple to my right. I don't know how to describe it. Just... You know, basic looking Caucasian dude, long hair.
Wow.
He's got a beautiful black princess with him.
Oh.
They're hanging out in the corner to the right of me. I mean, not a word was said between them the entire dinner. I don't know if they ate more
than... Think it was a first date?
I was asking that too. I don't know if they ate more than 2 bites of their food. Like we had the same server. So we're like, did they eat? They're like, no, they haven't eaten a single thing. Prepaid for $125 a person.
Yeah, they were fighting. Yeah, that was a fight.
And I was like, no word said on Valentine's Day and nobody ate. Me and my girl could get in a fight.
I was going to say, fair foul, still eating even if you're fighting. Like, if you're not going to talk, at least eat, right?
Well, especially if it was a prepaid.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we may yell in the car, but I'm eating my food.
Honey, we're eating, and we'll address this later.
Anything you talk about, she's just going to flip it around and make it a fight, you know? You can't say anything.
I just
well,
don't.
You say your steak is amazing. Well, how you treat me is not amazing. Like, damn.
Well, how you treat me. I don't know where I'd ever be in that situation. I would never be in a situation. Like, we can fight, but we're going to whatever, and then I'm going to eat, and I'm going to try to talk it through.
Never say never, bro.
But I'm saying, even if I was in that type of situation where we're having a fight, we're not going to dinner. I'm not going to.
They're going to pun on the
maybe
the
they got in a fight in the car on the way there. They had to have.
I'm still turning around. We're not going to fight. We're not going to fight the entire dinner.
You'll turn around?
Wow.
Well, we're canceling.
Don't you think turning around would have been better than just sitting there and not eating?
Not if you've already paid.
That's at least a to-go box. We are sitting in it now. We are going to dinner. We will address this whether you like it or not.
And this is like white tablecloth. Every table is like you can kind of see what's going on. Not just no piano in the back. Waterfall.
Awkward.
And just
were they still there when you guys left?
No, they left before us. Got here after us and left before us. They didn't eat anything.
Did they take a bag with them at least?
Nope.
They left the food there?
I'm telling you, I knew that.
You should have gone and scooped that up. I'll be real.
We knew Zach
now, that's one of those deals. If you got the same waiter, like, hey, you said they didn't take a bite of that? Even if they did, let's go ahead and box that up, too.
The only way I knew.
Espresso martinis later, I'd have been sitting at that table.
I think they actually ordered a strip.
I think you forgot to bring
that back.
The only way
is that a medium well, or how's that cooked anyway? Just asking.
The only way I knew that they didn't eat was because of the waiter. He was picking up the things 2 feet away from me, full plates.
Yeah.
Just how he brought it. Everything garnished on there.
Wow, that is just,
and I'm that's just a like, shame. That's not going to Chili's and getting in a fight and punting on $30, $40. That's
disgusted.
$300.
Ooh.
Wow. Damn, man.
So maybe it was a first date.
Well, Well, yeah, that's an awkward scenario.
A lot of people have chimed in about your question, Blake, about what should a man carry on him, and the unanimous consensus seems to be the pocket knife.
Oh, the pocket knife.
Okay. It's real close. That's personal.
That is personal.
I don't know if I'm that much of a psycho. If danger
psycho.
Came.
Whoa.
No, I'm saying if danger came, I don't know if I'd want to have a knife. That's
oh, you think you're too bashful to actually
stab somebody? Under duress?
It really came down to
danger comes, I don't know if I want a knife.
It is a very, throw it at him.
Very interpersonal.
Why would I want a weapon to defend myself? That is just crazy.
But I'm saying if push really came to shove, are we really stabbing people?
Yeah. Yes, Blake.
Yeah.
If push comes what's the alternative?
And it's life and death. I am stabbing you.
What's the alternative? Did you say peace?
A peace.
Oh, so you're going to carry a gun instead of a knife.
That's a lot easier.
In your sweatpants?
Just in there. Come on. Hey, because you can do this. You can do this and someone's going to back off.
Flash it.
You're going to flash a pocket knife.
Flash the belly button.
Oh, it's on.
I don't know. You give me Plaxico Burr's vibes when it comes to carrying a gun.
You could have been asking for directions. Now you brandishing a weapon. You got 3 years.
is there any other protection you can roll with you other than a pocket knife?
Pepper spray.
Yeah, pepper spray. Yeah.
That feels kind of...
A little taser.
Maybe a grenade.
A hand grenade. I'll
pull the what pin. Do you guys got coming up on the show?
Hand grenades and hair.
We'll just keep this conversation going. I mean, what would people carry around? Blake's
Blake. There you go.
Blake's Breakdowns makes its Fan After Dark debut tonight. Mm. You're breaking down what?
Some wide receivers. Looked at our boy Tet McMillan. Looked at Matthew Golden. Going to talk about the rest of the receivers. And then Fred is going to be looking at tight ends this weekend. So that'll come
right.
up as well.
That's right. Tight ends and running backs. That's
I
correct.
I sure like Fergie. So let us know. Hey, I love Tyler Warren.
I'm not crazy about Mason Taylor, Jake good Ferguson.
Player. Junior.
You know, we'll see. Maybe I mean, because look, if you're going to take a tight end, it's going to be in the later rounds, right? I mean, you're not taking a tight end if you're the Cowboys in the first four or five.
Ooh, I can get you some late round tight end, Luke Lachey out of Iowa, Jalen Conyers, Texas Tech.
Right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, we all expect Jake Ferguson to have a bounce back season next year, right?
Kind of felt like he was going to do it this year, didn't we?
But do you think he was affected more by the Dak Prescott being hurt than any other person on that football team?
I don't know if he was completely healthy.
And that might have been it too,
yeah,
right?
I wonder if that week one injury
knee injury
is
a little more bothersome than we thought.
His whole
and also
season.
The concussion.
That's my hope.
I thought he was going to become
a top five tight end.
Yeah, we all thought that, right? So we'll talk to our boy Ben Troop, friend of the program. He's talking all things draft as well. Get a feel on some of the SEC guys that might be available in day two and day three. Because obviously that's where your money's got to be made this year, right? Mm-hmm. If this team's going to take a step forward in 2025, you got to hit on these second and third day picks. So we'll talk about that. And how would Blake and I fix the All-Star game? Ooh. Maybe we won't. But tune in to find out. Maybe
perfect. Can't wait. That is the Fan After Dark. You know what to do. Just Tolo. Turn it on. Leave it on 7 to 11 tonight. Thank you so much to Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broaddus. Another 5 hours flawless. Lucius Alexander, Carter Freeman, Gavin Dawson back tomorrow until 2 o'clock. I'm Zach Wolchuk. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody.